Medford.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Welcome, everybody, to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright's. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Free Farm Radio. Glad you can join us on this Christmas Eve evening, the night before Christmas. Tis was the season for all Boston sports fans. Tis was the season for sports fans. As we enter the best time of year, oh man, what a time to be a sports fan. What a time to be a Boston sports fan. What a time. Glad you could join us. And thank you for making this show part of your afternoon special Christmas Eve edition of the Shukri Wright Show. Hopefully you have made it to your destination safely for Christmas and the holidays. And for those that will be traveling, like myself, I will be traveling after the show tonight to be with my loved ones for the holidays. I want to send a heartfelt safe travels and whatever. Every holiday you observe, happy holidays to you, and thank you for making this show absolutely awesome, and thank you for those who interact with me on social media. You know, it's been a while since I've talked about how you can reach me on social media. That changes, starting now. Follow me on Twitter, at Shukri Writes. I'll spell it out for you, at S-H-U-K-R-I W-R-I-G-H-T-S. You can follow me there. You can follow the radio show's Twitter page as well, at S-W-R-I-G-H-T-S 915. S-Writes 915. And you can follow me on Instagram. You can follow the Instagram page at S-W-R-I-G-H-T-S 915. S-W-R-I-G-H-T-S 915. That's Instagram and Twitter. You can follow me. You can follow the radio show for our special announcements as to when the show will be on the air, apart from its regularly scheduled time as well. The show will be back at its regularly scheduled time on January, the first Saturday of January. Sorry if the date actually escapes me, but hold on, I can actually tell you. Let's see. Whoa. Hold that thought. That will be Saturday, January 4th. That's the next time the show will be on at its regularly scheduled time at 5 p.m. But we are on. We're on the airwaves on New Year's Day again. Mark it, set it. I'll be posting it again on social media, on Twitter, on the Facebook radio show page at S Writes 915, S-W-R-I-G-H-T-S 915. It's the same handle for the Facebook page, the Twitter page, and the Instagram page. The Shukri Wright Show will be on the air live on New Year's Day from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. So hope you tune in for that, to ring in the new year with the show. New year, bigger and better are coming. Can't wait. Now, With that being said, we're going to continue to talk about the Red Sox for a little bit longer. I want to touch on Mookie Betts and so forth, because I hate to be the guy that sounds like that's beating a dead horse, but when a guy that makes it abundantly clear that he's choosing not to re-sign, and the Red Sox have actually made multiple attempts to sign him to a contract extension, and he's turned them down, what more are you really supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? The thing is, there comes a point in time where, although it be hard, you got to move on. And this is a guy who's going to be a free agent in 2020, at the end of the 2020 season. And frankly, he's going to be, and very much arguably, the most sought-after free agent on the free agent market come a year from now. I'm willing to make that bet. Honestly. I'm willing to make that bet. And here's the kicker. Let's say, for example, the Boston Red Sox are out of contention by mid-July of next year, 2020. And now the questions and the rumblings become even louder. What happens with Mookie Betts now? He's a Gold Glove winner, a terrific 5-2 player, an MVP winner, 2018 American League MVP award winner. If you're the Boston Red Sox, what do you do? What do you do? Because there is a point where I'm really feeling and believing that the Red Sox, they've said, and I mentioned in the last segment, that they're going to be looking to slash payroll. How confident are you as a Red Sox fan that they're going to be able to re-sign and keep Mookie Betts? And I want to be very honest with you for a moment. And I know this is challenging and this is asking a lot, but put aside the fanhood for a moment. Just one moment. How confident are you honestly in the Red Sox front office and ownership in keeping Mookie Betts right now? Not very confident? I can't say that I'm surprised. I'm not surprised. Because here's the truth. If the Red Sox were going to keep Mookie Betts, I wholeheartedly believe that they would have offered him what he was seeking at the end of the 2018 season, after they won the World Series. Not now. Especially not after announcing that they were going to be looking to go under the luxury tax, the tax threshold. That's the kicker. And I'm telling you right now, heaven forbid that the Red Sox get to July of next season and they're well out of contention, both for the division and the wild card. And now, you don't have a choice but to trade him. How are you going to feel then? Especially when you and I know, that the talk, if that were to happen, is going to be, well, why didn't the Red Sox trade him during the offseason? My point exactly. That's exactly what I'm getting at. If you are a Red Sox fan right now, I know you're concerned. And what should be concerning is the lack of activity from the front office at this point. And I know that the holiday season is here and, you know, not a lot is going on right now, with the exception of, you know, Dellin Betances having just signed with the New York Mets today and so forth. But let's be honest. Let's be honest for a moment. I will tell you that The Red Sox have some major questions that they need to answer. And the first one is, what are they going to do with Mookie Betts? And I'm going to be the first to say this right now. On Christmas Eve 2019, that the Red Sox decision on Mookie Betts, for good, bad, or indifferent, is going to impact this organization for the next decade, if not longer. Whatever they decide to do with Mookie Betts, for better or worse or indifferent, is going to absolutely send shockwaves to the organization for the next decade plus. Without question. Because I gotta tell you, Mookie Betts is not overrated. He is as good as advertised. And although he didn't have the same MVP caliber season that he had in 2018, he's still one of the premier outfielders and all-around players in the major leagues. And whatever the Red Sox decide to do, especially the front office, there's going to be a steep price to pay. Without a doubt in my mind. Call into the show, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. After we return from our music break, we're going to talk Bruins. We're going to talk Bruins because there was an article that came out today in the Boston Globe that actually made me very angry. And it confirms what I have been feeling for quite some time. But now we're at a point that this is something that I can no longer ignore, and neither should you. I'll get to that after coming from music break. But to continue on for the Red Sox right now, my question to you is this. If you're a Red Sox fan, if you feel that Mookie Betts should be kept while acknowledging that this team wants to get under the luxury tax threshold, how much is he worth? How much should he be signed for? Do you think Mookie Betts will get what he's seeking in terms of salary and years? Because you and I know that's what it comes down to. It does. And I gotta tell you, I'm not sure if the Red Sox, for a team that's looking to slash payroll, if they are going to absolutely do everything they can to get under the threshold, at least just yet. Because I also feel that, what if they're approaching 2020 saying, listen, this team is still talented enough to win. I mean, let's just be 100% honest. They are. They're still talented enough to win. But if we get to a point next season and it's a repeat of what happened this season, out of contention by the time you get to the end of July, by July 31st, I'm telling you, guys like J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts, are going to absolutely be big pieces for the Red Sox to move on from and to retool their farm system. Mark my words. But we're not going to get to that point yet. I also do think that the fact that the Red Sox are this quiet and they really haven't been very loud on the trade market, so to speak, tells me one of two things. something is about to happen come the new year, or two, they believe that they're good enough to compete next season and they're not ready to just ship pieces out just yet. I think that's also a real possibility as well. So, coming up next, as mentioned, I'm going to talk Boston Bruins. Maybe touch on the Boston Celtics a little bit. But we got to talk Bruins because, like I said, if you're just joining in, there was an article that was posted by Kevin DuPont of the Boston Globe today that really, really made me angry. And it made me angry because of how true it is. I'll tell you exactly what it is coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Free Form Radio.
These holiday lovers made a phone.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio. Another classic Bob Marley song called Jammin'. Gotta love it. Gotta love him. All right. It's 5:20 on the East. Christmas Eve. Let's talk some hockey, shall we? Because the Boston Bruins finally did something last night that I have been waiting for them to do for God knows how long. And that is beat the Washington Capitals. They have done that once in the last 15 games. And that was February of last year. That was February of last year when they did that when they went down in Washington on Super Bowl Sunday. Do you remember? Oh, I do. Trust and believe. I do. But as happy as I am, that they did, I'm pissed, actually. I'm pissed off with this team. But I'm actually even more pissed off with the front office. What do you mean? Allow me to explain. Today, there was an article written by Kevin DuPont of the Boston Globe about the Bruins. The Bruins last night essentially, allow me to explain. The Bruins apparently, in the midst of leading by a large margin, they were essentially taken to task by dirty players such as Tom Wilson of the Washington Capitals. What are you talking about? You really want me to explain to you what I'm talking about? Oh, man. All right. So, a few things happened. Number one, TJ Oshie thought it was a great idea to basically plaster Charlie McAvoy into the boards, causing him to leave the game due to injury. That's number one. Number two, Tom Wilson decided to take liberty at David Pastrnak. And these are just some of the things that was actually talked about. It was talked about in great detail. And this was the thing that really got me mad. So I'm going to read an excerpt that Kevin DuPont wrote in the article today in the Boston Globe. And here we go. Quote, "The game was over. The Bruins, in the midst of nursing a 6-3 lead over the finish line, Oshie, with no interest in playing the puck, unloaded on the vulnerable prey that was McAvoy, the ex-BU blue liner, who was already off kilter as he sped towards the puck near the Caps bench. Nothing illegal about the smack, at least not by the standards set by the NHL Department of Player Safety. But it was a cheap and dangerous play that could have left McAvoy in a world of hurt. We won't know about McAvoy's status until Friday, when the Bruins return from their holiday break. Post-game, Bruce Cassidy said he appeared to be okay, but we should take that as standard coach speak after a game. Post-game okays, have a way of turning into a string of day-to-days. Most telling, though, and of deep concern for the Bruins, was that Oshie did not have to answer for the hit. The referee said nothing. McAvoy teammates did diddly. And the band played on, only to, and The only answer to it all coming a minute 10 later, when Patrice Bergeron potted one into an empty net, his second strike of the night, for the 7-3 curtain closer. So basically, put it all together, they had no answer for when Oshie ran blazing into McAvoy, plastering it into the boards near the Capitals bench. Allow me to explain why, and I want you to understand something. This isn't only as pertains to just this little small excerpt that I just read. If you get the chance, go on the Boston Globe website and read the column in its entirety. But I'll explain to you why it got me very angry. Because I don't know what it will take for Don Sweeney to finally get his head out of his tush. But you cannot absolutely think that you put this team in the position that it has to make another run for the Stanley Cup this coming spring 2020, and you're relying just solely on skill and have no type of toughness. I'm going to try my best to keep my composure in all of this, because this has been a running theme for a few years now. But this has never been more evident now since the Stanley Cup final against the St. Louis Blues this past June. You had Blues players taking civil liberty at taking a run at your best players, sloop looting, tripping, illegal checks, you name it. These were all of the things that the St. Louis Blues did to take the Stanley Cup away from you when it was there for the taking. And what did you have for an answer? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Last night, the best team in the league came into your bowl. Oh, they got their behinds handed to them. You had absolutely no answer. Zero answer. For two of your best players being injured. One of them was actually sent to the penalty box. Impasta was sent to the box. So I want to bring attention now to Bruin fans. You already know this, but I'm going to really take it a whole nother notch. Don Sweeney, you may be General Manager of the Year in the NHL, but the fact that the Bruins are lacking that element of toughness, that element of a punch, this falls on you. But we got to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final last season with the same roster. Essentially the same roster, minus Marcus Johansson this year, and as well as Nola Chari, who are no longer with the team. So when guys like TJ Oshie and Tom Wilson take a run of your best players, you have no answer. So when guys like Patrick Maroon in last season's Stanley Cup Final are able to rough and tussle your best forwards, such as guys who also partook in this debauchery, like a David Perron or a Zach Sanford or an Oscar Sundquist. May I Bruin fans, do I need to remind you of the name of Oscar Sundquist? I don't think so. The fact that Don Sweeney has done absolutely nothing to add toughness to this team is an indictment. It's an absolute indictment of not learning your lesson from the Stanley Cup final from last season and expecting that somehow this team will finally have some kind of cojones to stick up for their own. And last night, they failed that test miserably because Daniel Chara was not on the ice. And then on top of that, when he's on the ice, how many times can you expect a 42-year-old captain to keep answering the bell? You can't. You absolutely can't. It's not realistic. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you an honest, very honest question, Bruins Nation. When you look at this roster right now, I want you to honestly tell me this one thing right now. Who do you look at on this roster and you can say that, oh, by the way, this guy, he's going to answer the bell. Or this guy, he's going to stand up for your teammates. I don't see any of that. At all. And what makes me sick, when I thought about this earlier, you don't have a Milan Lucic no more on this team. You don't have a Sean Thornton on this team anymore. You don't have a guy like a Chris Kelly or even a Gregory Campbell that'll answer the bell and stack up for your teammates. You don't have that on the Bruins. You don't have that. And what makes this disturbing is that for so much talk of redemption, for so much talk of bringing the cup back to Boston, great. But if you get pushed around like a bunch of school kids, by a bully who is bigger and stronger and more physical than you, that means absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. So there you have it. That's why that column got me so angry. Because it's true. You don't have that guy. And if you have that guy, how is it that you allow two of your best players? How do you allow two of your best players to be laid out on the ice? You have Wilson, only separated by a linesman, to be absolutely free of will, having his way against David Pastrnak. How do you explain that? You can't. You can't explain that. No matter how you try. Yes, there's concern. There's concern for secondary scoring. I get it. And that is a legitimate concern for this team. But you want to know what else is a legitimate concern for this team? It's a lack of toughness. Because I sure as heck don't see it. Where? Please tell me. You should not have instances like the Washington Capitals taking civil liberty out of your players. Your best players at that. That shouldn't be happening. But somehow it is. Somehow it is. And it's unacceptable. And Sweeney, I'm telling you, if this happens again, should the Bruins make the playoffs but get pushed around by more physically imposing teams, this is on your head. As a general manager, your responsibility is to recognize the problem and rectify it. But how do you rectify it when you're in salary cap jail? It's not possible. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, I honestly really don't. But I'm telling you, this should not only fall on the shoulders of Zdeno Chara. Brett Ritchie, step up. Step up. Who else needs to be called out on this Bruins roster right now? Huh? You can't expect DeBrus to do it because he's not that guy. And neither is David Pastrnak. Marchand has shown a great deal of toughness, but he can't be that guy always. and neither can David Backus. He's not that guy. This team has gotten soft as compared to what it was 5-6 years ago. And it's a shame. An absolute shame. It should have never gotten to this point. But you're limited by what you can do because you have very little space in your salary cap. And then on top of that, who do you look across the league as guys, as legitimate trade options come the trade deadline in February to add a little toughness to this lineup? Because they are absolutely getting their lunch given to them. And it is disgusting. Boston Eck is your best goal scorer, and he is getting absolutely ambushed out there on the ice. Unbelievable. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the Bruins this decade as to what a decade has been for the Boston Bruins, the men in black and gold. It's been unreal. Would you say? I would say. But just looking back on it, at least. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
From the No, no, no.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Free Farm Radio. A lot of Bob Marley tonight. Yes, Bob Marley is quite the theme, and heck, why not? I mean, listen, it may not be the typical holiday music and so forth, but no apologies. No apologies needed. Don't think it's really needed. But we got about 14 minutes remaining left in the show. Rather, we talk about the Bruins a little bit more and look back on the decade that it's been in some aspects and so forth. But, you know, it's been an amazing decade if you really think about it. I mean, just looking back overall, the Bruins get to the Stanley Cup Finals 3 times. Although they won the one, and that was 2011, and what a special championship run that was. But when you look at the overall picture of what the Bruins were able to do this decade, the Bruins basically made the playoffs every single year this decade except for two. That was 2015. In 2016, and both of them were byproducts of late season collapses where the Bruins were in playoff position but collapsed down the stretch and missed the playoffs. Other than that, they've made the playoffs every single year. 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2017, 2018, and again this year. So it certainly has been a decade to remember. And I can't help but to just think about like the decade that certainly has been, and we all hope, especially as Bruins fans, like as Bruins fans, we certainly hope that the next decade coming up, the 2020s, will be as good, if not even better, than what this decade brought the franchise and the organization. So feel free. Call in, give me your thoughts, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. And I got to tell you, if you are the Bruins and you look back on this decade, what are two or three things that stand out to you? Tell me. Anything? Of course, the Stanley Cup runs, absolutely. Those three absolutely stand out to you, for sure. The Bruins, for me, when I look back on this decade as a whole for the organization, you know, I honestly think that they've had a lot of success in large part. You know, making the playoffs, you know, making runs to the Stanley Cup Finals, winning the Stanley Cup. You know, they were able to do that 3 times this decade, and I tell you, we certainly hope for the next decade that another Stanley Cup is in the near future for the Boston Bruins. And I will tell you this. Right now, this team is in prime position to make another run at it. But even with the rant that I went on last segment in regards to the lack of toughness and lack of answering for dirty cheap hits on the Bruins, you gotta like the product that they put on the ice year after year after year. In large part, it's been a model of success, a model of consistency, and that's all you can want, especially in a salary cap era where it is absolutely tough to get to the Stanley Cup Finals, let alone win it every year. And I believe that this next decade is going to be telling because, again, the core the core group that won the cup. Guys like Char, like I said, he's 42. Bergeron, he's 34. Marchand, 31. Krejci, 34. You know, Tuukka Rask, he's 32, going on 33. These guys, they're getting older. So you got to wonder, how much longer these guys are going to last, and as well as, can they make one more run at another Stanley Cup? And I think it's a legitimate question to ask. You know? So, with that being said, let's talk about the Celtics. Shall we? You know, and that's my fault for not spending enough time on the Boston Celtics because, I mean, who am I? I completely ignore the fourth team in town. How dare I? You talk about the Red Sox, the Patriots, the Bruins, but you don't talk about the Celtics enough. Well, that's going to change. I promise you. I promise. So, if you are the Boston Celtics at this point, and here you are, you got a Christmas Day game tomorrow against the Toronto Raptors, the defending NBA champions. My question to you is, what are your first thoughts and impressions through 27 games? You got yourself a pretty good group. But the concern is obviously their lack of size. The lack of size of guys who could play the game inside the paint, you know? You know, like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, it's very possible that these two guys could be named to their first All-Star games of their careers this coming February. And it's interesting because a little more than a week ago, about 10 days ago, I had the 2019 Boston Sports Year in Review, and I had on the show live, Josue Pavon of the Celtics writer for WEEI and as well as for CLNS Media. And he made it very clear on this show that it is very possible that Brown and Tatum could be named to the All-Star team this season. Their first of hopefully what will be first of many. And I agree. Tatum, I think as much as we talk about his offensive game taking a major step forward this year and the offensive player that he's becoming, but what doesn't get talked about enough is his defense. That defensively, he's brought it on that side of the court as well, and it's been very impressive to watch. And the same can be said for Jaylen Brown. And there was something I saw today that the Celtics are a better defensive team with Tatum on the court, and that's impressive. And that goes to show you that it's not just the offense, but at the same time, it's the defensive effort that he's giving in night in and night out. And that in itself is very, very impressive. I like what I've seen from the Celtics team so far. The camaraderie, the chemistry, you know. I thought it was actually pretty cool to see guys such as Taco Fall, who was sent down to the G League and brought back up. And Friday night, you have nearly 20,000 fans at the Garden screaming, "We want Taco. We want Taco." Like, it was pretty cool. And then to watch Stevens absolutely play along with the crowd, that was the kind of stuff made of legends. That was great. That was absolutely great. And to see him come in, you know, to be cheered on, and you know, people like his teammates, the fans wanted to see him do well. I thought that was pretty awesome, you know. And we don't know how Taco Fall will develop or the kind of player that he'll become. There's no telling that right now. But you got to be encouraged by his physical presence and what he brings. By the way, did anybody see what he did the other night? Apparently, he led the orchestra at the symphony, I believe it was. Yeah, at the symphony. And He orchestrated. He orchestrated a band, an opera. I guess it wasn't an opera. I think I'm sorry if I'm getting the name wrong, but it was basically he was orchestrating like a symphony. Basically, that's what it was, and it was great, you know. And it was just awesome to absolutely see how he was received at the symphony. So this is according to the Boston Celtics on Mass Live. It's about a minute 49 of what it sounded like. Him conducting the symphony. So without further ado, hope you enjoy. Thought it was pretty entertaining. That was a tremendous job by Taco Fall conducting the symphony. And after all, he looked pretty comfortable, I gotta admit. Definitely check it out. The video is on YouTube, worth checking out. And it's actually in two parts, courtesy of masslive.com. So he is more than an athlete, and he already is becoming a legend in the city. How amazing is that, I tell you. Since we got, let's say, about almost 90 seconds in about 3, 2, 1. Here we are, about 90 seconds. I just want to say thank you to everyone who tuned in this afternoon. Hope you've enjoyed the show. I just want to make something very clear that I tend to do this for every single show that I do, bring a great deal of passion and intensity that's unparalleled to anywhere else. And simply put, to be the best sports radio personality I could possibly be here in the greater Boston area. And perhaps I hope that shines through the shows that I do. And that I hope you, the listener, enjoys the shows thoroughly as I try my best to put a great product every single time that I'm on the air. So to all of you who have listened in 2019, thank you. To all of you who have made this absolutely incredible, thank you. Thank you to the management of WMFO. Thank you to everyone who tuned in and week out. Always appreciated. Much thanks. Next show, I'll be on live on New Year's Day, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on 91.5 FM WMFO, TuneIn Radio app, and WMFO.org. This is Shukri Wright.